7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with another amazing Croc podcast for the greatest bunch of people in the whole world, our cancer survivors. Angel Santana doing the Met Happy Dance, the Met Rainmaker Dance, the Mets, we better win this tonight or we're going home to play golf dance. Angel Santana, what do you say?
Daylight come and I don't want to go home.
You had a very difficult week. I heard you all week. You were working extra hours, working into the evening, working into the late shift, people not showing up. You're doing your thing to keep the hospital safe and protected and all of our wonderful patients well cared for. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's been a rough week, but you know what? Somebody's got to do it. And at the end of the day, I really love what I do. So, that's just that comes with the territory.
We appreciate you. And by the way, despite your tough week, you never missed a podcast with Have Faith, Let It Begin. I advise all of our survivors to give a listen. Angel will tell you how to do that.
That's right. Just like the Croc podcast, I'm available on every platform, just like the Croc podcast. And here's a cool fun fact. If you'd like to hear Dr. Ianelli more, right after today's episode, you can go back and look at Mondays. All the Mondays on Half Faith Let It Begin, I have a co-host. His name is Dr. Tom Ianelli.
I do that because one day I'm going to assassinate you and take over both podcasts. I'm going to put the
officially recorded.
I'm going to put the Croc flag on my podcast and your podcast, and we'll be the Jolly Roger will be all set. So Angel, this is a really interesting week because again, got schooled by one of my patients this week, and I always take it as a learning experience, and I am looking forward to sharing it with our survivors. And actually, this is more of a podcast for our caregivers, for our physicians, and perhaps they have had similar experiences. And I'm hoping that through my personal experience, they will learn as I've learned and hopefully be able to implement new things to make their practice better and make it better for our survivors. So let's start.
Absolutely. That's the best part about this new way of what we're doing as far as the Croc podcast. We're getting more in depth, more personal, and really just diving in from that point of view, which I think is really fascinating to our viewers.
And it's actually, as you could probably relate to as a podcaster who does a lot of extemporaneous things, sometimes, in the old days with the modules, we had it all planned out in advance and we would have speakers and guests and things like that, which would take a lot of effort. And sometimes that was hard and it was always hard and it was always a lot of hard work. But now it's a different stress, a different pressure. It's a pressure to come up with a worthwhile subject for our worthy Croc podcast people. We don't want to put a podcast out there that's not going to help them just to do it. We want to not only be honest with them and tell them what's going on, we want to also make it pertinent to their life. And in this case, to the people who take care of them, to their life as well. So we have a ceremony. I think it's pretty universal in oncology. We did a podcast about the bell when someone finishes treatment, whether or not the bell was actually a good thing or a bad thing. That's how we got hooked up, I think, with some of our friends down in Texas. I think Len and his group, that's how it all started, was finding out they did some research on the bell and we all thought that'd be a great thing. And that's a podcast I would recommend you go back to, and we're not going to review it now. But at one of the ceremonies last week, I was there and to celebrate the survivor who completed therapy. And after they rang the bell, I went over, gave them a big, big hug and congratulated them. And they said to me, doc, I was wondering when I was going to see you again. And I thought, wow, that's really profound, because I saw them at their consultation. I participated, in their care plan, and I got them through their treatment, but I guess they didn't see me that much. They saw our advanced care practitioners, and we're going to kind of talk about that, how we now, as we get, busier and busier and medicine gets more complex and we have more advanced care practitioners, how we as the captains, the oncologists, the surgical oncologists, the medical oncologists, the radiation oncologists, how sometimes we could disconnect from our patients by relying on our advanced care practitioners. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
That's interesting too, you know, that you bring that up, because it's, you know, it's not like you purposely weren't around, you know, you did, you got yourself to that point where they took over. But of course, just because they took over doesn't mean you weren't overseeing it, but it's more of the perception. If you don't see somebody, you just assume they're not there, but you're there the whole way.
Yeah, but you know, what made it hard was the way I came up. You know, it's kind of funny. I go in the morning sometimes at the Five Corners for all of our Pine Bush people, Hudson Valley people. You know, the Five Corners is famous on Route 302. And there's a there's sort of like a garden center. And then there's a pizzeria. And then across the street, there's this convenience store slash gas station. And for we rural folk, for we hillbillies, you know, that's kind of the place we gather and we get our lunch and we go get our milk and things like that, our beer and tobacco. And I go in there at 5 o'clock in the morning and there's a guy in there, the owner, I guess. And I say hello and he says hello and you know, have a good day. And then like 6 o'clock at night when I come home, I go back, you know, after working the whole day and he's still there. And I thought to myself, wow. He does everything, and I used to do everything. He runs the register. He takes care of the gas pumps. He cooks. He cleans. He acts as the register guy, the clerk. He advertises. He does his inventory. He does his ordering. He pays bills. He does payroll. He does insurance. He does customer service. Not that well, but he does customer service. And I sort of did the same thing. It was basically I took basically everything. I saw all the patients, or at least most of the patients. I did their consults, their follow-ups. I took the calls, their weekly checks. I did their procedures. I took care of their side effects, the prescriptions they needed for pain medication or whatever. Made sure they got referred to who they needed to get referred to, ordered their diagnostics, did their callbacks, did my own advertising, and did my own patient and doctor referring doctor satisfaction. So I was kind of the chief cook and bottle washer myself. And when that patient said that to me, I sort of had my come to Jesus moment. I said, boy, I'll tell you, I'm not in that same position as I was. And we're going to talk about why. We had a situation going where we had a situation where I had a system. I had a system in the days to be able to do everything alone. And, you know, having a little, probably more than a little, more of an ocean of OCD, it's actually was an advantage in my professional life. And I put together to-do lists, and I would have the patient lists, and I would have my colored markers, and everybody would get a different color if they had different types of cancers, or if my partner had a patient, he'd have a color, I'd have a color. And I did my metrics and I made sure I knew who was finishing and I did all the completion notes. And then, you know, as I said, the big change came, and not just in my practice, but everywhere. There became an influx and an embrace, I guess, where I guess we didn't embrace the advanced care practitioners prior, and they would be your advanced care practitioners, would be your nurse practitioners, your physician assistants, your nurse navigators. And they became not just, you know, a small part of the oncology community, but a major part. And my practice went with the wave. And we basically ended up hiring two amazing, wonderful, caring, efficient, and absolutely competent nurse practitioners in my practice who have done some great things with our patients. And then the other change, you know, I took some administrative advice, which I think we're going to talk about in more detail. But you always have to remember your administrators, as much as you may respect them and they may be smart and all those types of things. You know, on the surface, we all kind of have the same agenda, and that's to help the patient. But administrators are not clinical. They don't really get it. And they have their own agendas, which don't always align. As a matter of fact, often do not align with the best interest of the patient and the best interest of the caregiver. So as far as the structure of radiation oncology and medical oncology, surgical oncology are similar, you know, same, but different. There's the referrals and the relationships you develop with the referring physicians. There's the consultation process. There's the treatment planning process. which I'm part of, all of that. And then the initiation of treatment, which I'm part of. But then after that, the weekly checks, the side effects, the prescriptions, dealing with their completions, the bell ringing, the follow-ups, and then the diagnostics and the referrings. That's kind of the structure. And that's some of the stuff where I got disconnected because of the advanced care practitioners. Now, there is an upside and a downside to the advanced care practitioners. And I'm going to just shout out my two advanced care practitioners, Louise and Jessica. I really appreciate you guys, and you guys are part of our family, and the patients love you, and your work is incredible, and you've made my life much easier. But at the same time, we're going to go through all the great stuff you do, and we're going to go through some of the things that we need to make changes for the patients to feel totally covered by their physicians, right? So you have a situation where you have, you know, there's an excellence, right? You, as long as you have the correct person that you hire, you have to make sure they, you know, basically have the same practice philosophy and the same love of your patient, love of the survivor as you do. You have to make sure that they're excellent and they're caring. They also can increase the volume of your practice, right? Because they're practice expanders. They can increase, you could see more patients when you have other practitioners. You can also make the environment safer, at least theoretically, by having another set of eyes or another two set of eyes, checking over things to make sure everything is just kind of copacetic. And there's also a gender expansion. So I have two female nurse practitioners. I'm a male. So maybe some female patients or female survivors might prefer to have their skin checked by another female as opposed to a male. And that might give them more comfort. So that's another advantage. You also reduce the work and you make life easier for the physicians and better, you know, in that respect. There is also the downside of an advanced practitioner if you don't watch yourself. And it starts with the interruption of what I call the interruption of the volume of encounters. So when you see a patient, don't forget, doctors see patients mostly consultation, get to know them, spend an hour. After that, you know, start of treatment, you know, we're down to a half hour. And then the weekly checks, you're down to 15 minutes. And then seeing them in the hallways or running into the room to see them or get filling a prescription for them, those encounters become shorter and shorter and shorter. But you're building a foundation at the consultation. And then you keep on laying down the cement and putting more bricks, and you're building a beautiful building, a skyscraper of trust, the skyscraper of, of a partnership between you and the patient. And if you sort of reduce the amount of cement you're using to secure those bricks, or you have less bricks to put in your foundation, you're going to notice that that volume of encounter will be diminished, and so will that relationship, as that patient pointed out. You know, hey, I was wondering when I was going to see you again. So obviously they had a great experience. They were very happy with their experience. They had a seamless experience. They had an excellent technical experience, but as far as my interface with them wasn't as impactful as it was in the past. And you have to make sure that you recognize this. And this is just a caveat emptor to my fellow physicians to beware of this. And again, nurse practitioners, advanced care practitioners, physician assistants in oncology are widespread. I know my neurosurgical colleagues really depend on their physician assistants to do pretty much everything except do the actual operations. And when they do the operations, they're actually there with them doing whatever they have to do. But they do the pre-op stuff. They do the post-op stuff. They do the consultations. They basically put a tablet in front of the doc and say, okay, here's the scan. Here's the tumor. Does this patient need surgery? Yes. Okay. Now go set it up. And then basically the physician just kind of walks in, washes his hands, scrubs up, and does the operation. So, you know, in that case, you know, it is not just me. It's not just in radiation oncology. It's not just in my practice. It's everywhere in medical oncology. The docs go into the infusion center, but more more likely than not, it's really the nurses and the nurse practitioners and the advanced care practitioners that are managing the infusion center and the side effects and the pre-medications and all that kind of thing. Now, this is a shout out to those people, to those nurses, to those navigators, to the nurse practitioners, the advanced care practitioners. And this is certainly not any sort of a demeaning them in any way or making this bold statement that we don't need them anymore. We need them more than ever, but we need to put it in perspective and make sure that we don't lose our position or make sure we don't lose how we interact with our survivors to make sure they have the best possible experience, the best possible connection, and the best possible outcome. So the downside is that is really all on us. It's not on them. It's a sense of reliance that we get on our nurse practitioners and our advanced care practitioners. There's complacency. We get used to trusting them and relying on them. So sometimes we get a little lazy. We lose that edge. We may not know the cases as well as we did in the past when we didn't have them. We didn't know the patients as well as we did in the past, and the patients don't know us as well as they did in the past. And we also will lose some of the nuances of the cases, especially the tough cases. The patient experience could be diminished or not. I mean, sometimes some patients really don't care. You know, I'll see the doctor, I'll see the nurse practitioner. I prefer to see the nurse practitioner. But some patients really, you know, if they came to see Dr. Santana, they want to see Dr. Santana. They don't want to see somebody else. And sometimes they can get very upset about that. And don't forget, it's not the same. It gets back to the referring physicians. If their experience isn't good, they say, hey, didn't you love Dr. Iannelli, Dr. Santana? Well, yeah, you know, he seemed great. He came in. We had a lot of laughs. The consultation was great. It made me feel at ease. Everybody was fantastic, but I didn't really see him that much. You know, he wasn't really there that much. I was really dealing with more with his nurse practitioner. And then the referring physicians, they may not really pay attention to that, but after hearing it a couple of times, they're going to say, hey, what's up? You know, I sent this patient to you, you know, why aren't you taking care of them? So, the other thing you have to understand, the quality of the documentation is never going to be the same because let's be honest. I mean, you know, we go through so much specialized training. You know, you can't expect an advanced care practitioner to have the same level of sophistication and not to be an elitist, but that's just the facts. And, you know, they'll do documents and completion summaries and I'll read them. More often than not, I'll sign them because I trust them. But when you do read them, you say, wow, I wouldn't have said it this way. I would have written it this way. Or you pick up a lot of errors or whatever, and not substantive errors, just things, you know, that may be unclear that wouldn't be if it was your document or would be a little more scientific or a little more professional or whatever. So that's another level, you know, where you're kind of losing that experience. So again, Angel, what do? We point out the problems, but we also try to come up with solutions. And that's what we're going to do now. So do you remember a commercial? You were old enough to remember when there was a commercial, I think it was for an airline, and there was a company and the boss had gotten everybody together and everybody was saying, hey, what's up? And he started handing out airplane tickets to every one of the people on his, you know, who was under him. And, you know, Angel, you're going to Dallas, and, you know, Denise, you're going to San Jose, and Diana, you're going to go to Bangor, Maine, or whatever. And they go, why are we going to all these places? And he said, because we've lost touch with our customers. We're not in touch with our customers. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And he walks away and he's got a plane ticket in the back of his pants. And he says, I'm going to go reconnect with an old friend down in Florida. So, I mean, it was a really poignant commercial, and it meant, like, you know, that face-to-face importance of relationships. And especially, and that was in the day, you know, before computers and Zoom and coronavirus and televisits and, you know, FaceTime and all these types of things and social media. This was way before then. But it goes to show how important it is for that face-to-face, you know, feeling, that personal touch that I think we lose sometimes, or we may lose if we're not careful, you know, with our, and it's really a testament to how great our advanced care practitioners are. So bravo to you guys that we even have this problem, because if you guys were no damn good, We wouldn't even be talking about this. But it's because you guys are so great that we're having this. So should we just fire all of our advanced care practitioners and basically, run them off the face of the earth and say you can only practice in underserved areas that we don't want to go practice in? Absolutely not. But we do need to make some adjustments. So what are some of the adjustments? Well, number one, Angel, one of the foundations of CROC is accessibility. So we have our pillars and being accessible. Now, I can't tell you how many times I tell someone when I see that every single person gets my cell phone, but now I've been more careful to not only tell them, to give them my cell phone, but actually make it a point during the consultation to actually make them promise to use it, meaning that I will tell them that, listen, you're going to see me today. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of all your planning and make sure everything goes great and supervise. But you may not see me as much. You might see the nurse practitioner. So on Mondays for doctor day, or I'm sorry, for status check, if you want to see me, and I don't know this because I can't read your mind, you need to ask for me. And I will just basically appear like the genie in the lamp. And sometimes if there's a problem or you have a question, you have that number and I don't want to hear anymore. I tell them straight up, you don't call me because you don't want to bother me. You're bothering me much more when you don't call me than when you call me. So call me anytime. So that's the other thing that's really important, that making yourself accessible and then stressing how accessible you are, making sure they feel comfortable accessing you. Number two, know every patient and find a way to follow their progress remotely. It could be remotely or face-to-face, and not just in your, 3 minutes that you present their case every Thursday at chart rounds, but really follow their progress, follow them through the process. Sometimes sneak your head in if you know the nurse practitioner is seeing them on status check, instead of holding myself away in my office, which is a little removed from the clinic, set up in one of the consult rooms and just do your work there. And this way everybody know you're seeing people walk in and out, and you can jump in, jump out, go say hi, especially the cases that are that are more complex. And that's especially true on the complex cases. You need to go old school back in the complex cases. So you might want to actually say, on this patient, I want it personally. I'm going to see them every Monday. And if they have any other problems, I'm going to see them when they have problems, and I'm going to examine them, like I did in the old days, halfway point, end point, make sure that I do the documentation. So on those cases, it's kind of going back to the days without the advanced care practitioners. And then check the schedule every day and check who your nurse practitioners, your physician assistants are seeing. You might say, oh my gosh, there's Sam. I remember Sam. He's a great guy. He was a fireman in New York City, and he did this and he did that. And he was a boxer. This guy was a doo-wop singer. This guy was, worked for, Merrill Lynch or whatever. And, get to know him. And if you're going to work on the weekends, which I do, pick up the phone and make some calls, see how everybody's doing. That you'd be shocked. Oh, doc, that was nice that you called me on the weekend. Yeah, I'm doing really good. Yeah, I saw Louise this week. I saw Jess this week. Everything's great. No problem. Thanks for checking up on me. And then at the bell ringing ceremony, even though you didn't see him, as much as you did in the past, they feel like you did. And I think that's the thing. And lastly, respect your administrators, respect their intelligence, respect, their advice, listen to their advice, take it under advisement. But at the end of the day, make no mistake, their agendas and your agendas are not the same agenda. Your agenda is about the patient. Your agenda is not about volume, making money, making sure you get paid. Well, that's not your agenda. Your agenda is straight up about the patient. And, any sort of, MBA / MHA, specialist who comes in and does efficiency evaluations and say, we could do this and we can, open up these slots and do all these type of things. That's all well and good. And I know that's the direction we're going in medicine, but you know what, for this podcast, for our survivors, we're going to keep it old school, Angel. And then you're going to partner with your advanced care practitioner. You're going to create a partnership. You're not going to create a controlled tyranny. You're not going to be an emperor. You're not going to be, you know, El Duce. You're going to be a partner, and you're not going to command them. You're going to work together in the best interest of the patients. Angel Santana, your thoughts.
You know, it's interesting. I'm listening to you, and I'm listening to different keywords that keep popping up. You know, communication, partnership, interaction, following up, structure. And I just watched a documentary, and the documentary was, and I'm going to take a page out of your playbook. It was a documentary that's on Netflix. It's about the Dream Team. And it's in it, but the main focus is about the Redemption Team, the team of the Olympics that didn't do well and then finally went back and they ended up getting the gold. So where do I'm coming going with this? It sounds to me like the way you have structured everything now in place, you have acquired and created your own dream team, and that dream team cannot exist without those key components. So I admire the fact that you have things in place. I have a side question to that now that I've brought that up. If there's this old saying that we used to say when I used to watch, professional wrestling or anything that has anything creativity. And that is, if you had the pencil to write out a script, let's pretend for a second that this is a script and you're in a movie, but structuring it the way you are working as the, you know, the radiation oncologist. But if there was a way that you can create it without the red tape, without the administration, and again, no disrespect to anybody, would it be different?
Yes, 100%.
So I think that's an episode that we really should touch in the future. We'll leave that on a nice cliffhanger. And maybe, you know, say, you know, this is what would happen if I was able to do it, or we'll talk about that offline. But I think that's a great topic for you.
Excellent. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you very much for being such an amazing co-host, being so good to our cancer survivors. They really appreciate you and they really adore you. And you really know, you get it. You understand, you know what they're going through. And anybody who needs a little spiritual uplift, have faith, let it begin. Please give him a listen. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Anybody out there who needs help with their websites or help with their little small businesses or their little side hustles or whatever, give him a ring. I believe, Angel, we have ways of getting in touch with him through our website. Our board of directors always there helping us, giving us direction, giving us criticism, hopefully loving criticism to direct us to better serve you guys, our survivors, which leads me. Well, let me thank Michael, of course, and Charlotte for their support as I do every week. But my pep talk for the week for our amazing survivors. You go in to see your doctor. You're scared. You're scared out of your wits. You think you're going to die. And you've just been told you have cancer. And you see that person and they start to establish a trust and you believe in them and you believe what they're saying and you feel a lot better. The burden is easing from your shoulders and life is starting to become better and better and better. And you're going through your treatments and you're wondering, I'm doing better and everyone's taking care of me. But I haven't seen, you know, Dr. X or I haven't seen Dr. Y in a while. Or how are they doing? Are they doing good? Do they know I'm here? Do they know I'm sitting in this chair getting this poison? Do they know that I'm laying down on this big radiation table with this mask that's suffocating me? Do they know that I have, you know, pain from these treatments that you're giving us? And do they care? Do they care about me? They came in that day and they made me laugh and you deserve more than that. And I think all of the nurse practitioners and advanced care practitioners and physician assistants, I have so much respect and admiration for my colleagues. But at the end of the day, you deserve to have a very strong relationship with your oncologist. So that's my pep talk for today. This podcast will empower you to ask for that because you deserve nothing less. We end our podcast as we end each podcast the same way. And that's by wishing you all a very long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life and a very strong and personal relationship with your oncologist. May God bless you May God be with you. Peace.